Jesus, I trust you. Be highly praised. Beloved, is this right, what we have sung? Do we trust him with all our hearts? Do we believe his word? Everything what he said? He said some things which probably are very sharp, which some probably doubt, but I think he meant it well, and he didn't make empty words, but his word is yes and amen, and we may trust his word. And when he says in Matthew 7 from verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, then we can believe this with all our hearts. For he knew beforehand about each one, beloved. And the people can mask themselves as they like and say, Lord, Lord, but God knows the hearts. God knows each one. And he knows also us, you and me and all of us. And for this we are very grateful. He said here, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. This is the thing. Not knowing of it, not speaking of it, but to do the will of the Heavenly Father. This is what matters, beloved. Also especially in our days, where so many are speaking of God, so many speak of Jesus, so many prophesy this and that. It depends whether we are fully anchored in the Word of God, whether we do what the Lord commanded us, or whether we do our own things. Many will come on that day and say to me, not that I want to say something here, brothers and sisters, but here the Lord speaks. Many will come on that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many wonders? But then I will say unto them, I never knew you. Why not? If they have done so many things. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They did not pay attention to the words of the Lord. And therefore, they are workers of iniquity, beloved. But God looks on them who pay attention to his word and hear and do according to what he said. See how serious the matter of God is and how serious the words of our Lord are. He continues, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, notice, and doeth them, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Is this not something wonderful? These words of our Lord, we must pay attention to them. We must take them to heart. Not what we think, what we do, but the words of the Lord, they are to be observed and to be acted upon. Brothers and sisters, there is no other way. God's word is not outdated, and it didn't cease to be the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is it. And his word is still valid today. And we are so happy. We see the Lord says here, whoever did not build his house upon a rock. Yes, he is bad off. Maybe we should read some verses briefly, because today We planned many things. So just briefly, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, upon the rock Jesus Christ. Is this not something wonderful? Thereupon we must be grounded, upon him, upon his word. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, you see, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. One can hear the words of God and not do them. But it is important that we hear them and that we do accordingly. This is the demand of our Lord, addressed to his own, and especially in our days. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Oh, how terrible will it be, brothers and sisters. But the other side is this: those who build their house upon the rock of Jesus Christ, there the storm and the wind can blow, there the rain can come, a flood can come. Nothing will happen to the house. It will stand upon the firm ground, upon the word of God. If we stand on it, beloved, then nothing can happen to us. And for this, we are so happy and so grateful that we don't need to follow cunningly devised fables of men, but the word of our Lord. And we know his word is spirit and life. And nobody needs to think that he comes through with his reasoning and with his opinions. With God, only his word counts, and his word alone. And this is also valid with them who believe him with all their heart. Do we believe him with all our hearts? This is something wonderful. So, brothers and sisters, also in this morning hour, we want to give him the glory and the worship. Let us stand up and worship together. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this hour of grace, for this time, for these moments, for your precious and holy word. And we ask you also this morning, Lord, let your will and your word be addressed to us, and let us not just be hearers, but also doers of thy word. Help me, help us, O Lord. We have come from near and far, and I believe that we have all come with a longing heart, and you will satisfy it. You will give them, Lord, for what their heart desires. I worship you, and I praise your wonderful name. Bless us, Lord. Bless all your people. Bless everything, Lord, what we want to do in this morning hour and the whole day. Be merciful to us. Help your servant, our brother, that he brings what you want to say. Give your spirit and your power to it. We ask it together in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Blessed and praised be your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Also this morning, we welcome all of you very warmly, especially those who perhaps as later guests have been newly added. May the Lord bless you and all of us richly. I am sincerely sorry that we could not give the opportunity to all the brothers so that they also can bring a word of greeting, a short testimony. There's our old friend and brother, Molura, from Italy. We know each other since many years, still from the time of Brother Pilati, but everywhere misunderstandings came up, and the enemy has sown discord among the brethren. But the time has come that everyone can walk his way with God and does not hear anymore to the many voices. I want that our brother knows it. We love him and we appreciate him with all our hearts. Brother Molura, don't be sad. Be of good courage and be strengthened and serve the Lord. The same applies to all the other brothers who minister with the word and who most certainly could have reported some things. When our brother from Poland just spoke now, I of course experienced it, how touched he was in his heart, that one could see it outwardly, one could notice it. And I thought about it, how often we in a similar way in the past years were touched through the word of the Lord and through that what God has done. Oh, may all this be restored unto us and newly given to us. It's no matter of course that among so many millions of people, a handful have been called out and is taught by God. This is an indescribable grace which we can never understand, let alone that we could explain it. May God make us more grateful, to be joined more deeply with Him and also with one another. For me, yesterday ended for me this morning at around 3 o'clock. Some probably still have heard it who were in the house. We had still a wonderful time of prayer, and it seemed as if the door would stay open the whole night, and brothers and sisters came in and out. This means more to me than the sleep. The sleep you can catch up, but if one oversleeps the time which God gives us, this one cannot catch up anymore. Therefore, may it be our heart's desire that we redeem these two services and really looking to the Lord so that He can bless us richly. Beloved, on this day we remember with millions the glorious resurrection of our Lord. It overwhelms me every time when I'm on missionary trips and especially speaking to many from other religions, from the Hinduism, the Muslims, the Sikhs, and who they are. And when I then can draw this wonderful comparison that all the founders of the various religions, they died and they were buried. No one of them said where he goes. No one gave a promise. All had only an idea. And with their idea, they were then buried. And all their followers will be buried with this idea. But we, as sons and daughters of God, we have not an idea, but the Redeemer. He gave the promises and he fulfills them all. He said, at the grave of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, he shall live even when he dies. And this is right throughout all eternity. When Brother Branham was taken beyond the curtain of time, he saw millions dressed in white, young, a crowd of overcomers who was in glory. Beloved, the heaven is a reality. And our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again to receive you unto myself, so that you are also there where I am. On that glorious morning, the trump of God shall sound, and the voice of the archangel will be heard, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, who we are alive and remain, we shall be changed, and together will be raptured to meet our Lord in the air, and will be with him at all times. After the meeting in the air, it goes then to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He will gird himself and will serve us after he wiped off all the tears from our eyes. And as Brother Branham, I think it's also in the film sermon, our Lord says then to us, weep no more. You have overcome. Everything is over. It will be a victory crowd, a crowd of overcomers, a redeemed church, the bride of the Lamb, standing at the sea of glass, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and there we will give him the praise and the worship with all our hearts in a much better way than we can do here on earth. Here our voices fail, and sometimes also the words, but there we will never get tired. No voice becomes hoarse, no missound, no misunderstandings anymore. Everything in order and clear and true for all eternities. We have the great privilege to still invite others. Oh, that God could give me and us before the return of the Lord once more the opportunity to give a last call to mankind, so that still many come out and make the reward of our Lord great. The redemption was a disgraceful, a painful thing. Our Lord, or of Him it is written here in Matthew 26, from verse 37, and He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And He went a little further, and fell on His face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. On the earth, our Lord was a human. He began to tremble and to hesitate. The hour was come in which the redemption had to be accomplished. Deeply sorrowful is my soul unto death. We could read in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53. I will not read too much, but some should nevertheless be said and read. Isaiah 53 from verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Is this not a precious and holy word of God? In our Lord, it came to fulfillment. He not only redeemed many, but also you and me. We may be part of this crowd which was purchased and redeemed in Christ by God. In Psalms 2, we read a very wonderful word, which also deals with Psalms 2, verse 7 and 8. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Hallelujah. Oh, we could read today umpteen prophecies from the Old Testament and show you how they then found their fulfillment. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. From death I should deliver them. From the power of hell I should take them out. If we then read up the history of the crucifixion, then we find it confirmed in what kind of wonderful way all these words came to fulfillment. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, then something very special happened. Matthew 27 from verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Hallelujah! Praise God! All these are realities. And the first resurrection and changing will be a reality shortly. Came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. We believe it with all our hearts. In Christ, God made the beginning of the divine creation. Therefore, it is written in Revelation chapter 3. Let me read it so that you know that it's not just quoted, but that it is truly written. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Not the beginning of the creation of the world, of the earth, of the universe, but the beginning of the creation of God. God Himself created for Himself an earthly body. He manifested Himself in it, and by it He made the beginning of the divine creation. Now we come all after Christ, the second Adam. As we naturally come after the first Adam, so by the new birth we become sons and daughters of God. We become a part of the divine creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is past. Behold, all things have become new. Christ, our Lord, was the beginning of this divine creation. He became as we are, so that we can become like He is. John writes in the first epistle in chapter 3, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, then we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah! This is the absolute truth. Whether we can understand it or not, this is not important. Important is that we believe it with all our hearts, believing it that Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. And we are just as begotten and born of God. Therefore, He could say after His resurrection, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. And then He says these wonderful words in the Gospel of John in chapter 20. Perhaps we read it also, so that all know, also those who are probably not so acquainted with the Bible, that they nevertheless know that it is written. Important is only that I find the scriptures quickly. John 20, verse 16. Jesus says unto her, Mary. She turned herself and says unto him, Rabuni, which is to say, Master. Jesus says unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren. Go to my brethren. Is this not a wonderful word? Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Also this is God's holy word. Oh, how happy we can be that we don't have to be oneness people, that we don't need to be Trinity people, that we believe every word of God with all our hearts in the context in which it was given. Are you not grateful for this? How many are violent to the scripture, for it must say what they want to say? No, the scripture must not say what you or somebody wants to say. You and I and everybody must be ready to say what the scripture has said. And only then everything is in order. Some have still difficulties to say a hallelujah and a praise God. But this difficulty will still be rectified, this I tell you. God will do so great things in our soul that we will exalt His name. There will be no other way. Every man to whom God revealed Himself and glorified Himself, He could not do otherwise but to give room to this fountain and to give thanks to our God. Beloved, I would like it best to read a number of scriptures which all deal with the resurrection. I will have to be brief because about water baptism must also be spoken still. Some are here who would like to be baptized. Let me read from Luke 24. Here it says, Why seek ye the living among the dead? It stands out to us that our Lord revealed Himself to His own after His resurrection. Not one unbeliever has seen Jesus Christ after His resurrection. Our Lord foretold, Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye shall see me. Only His own have seen Him. Only His own experienced Him. They heard how He spoke. They experienced how their hearts were opened and how their understanding for the scripture was opened unto them. They saw how He broke the bread. Beloved, when we rose with Christ, then our spiritual ears and eyes and our hearts must have been opened. Then we hear Him. then we hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Then we recognize today His doings. We feel and see how He breaks the bread for us. This afternoon, we will start already at 14 hours, and then we will have the Lord's Supper as a memorial to that what our Lord did for us on the cross of Calvary. The disciples slept, although the Lord commanded them to watch with Him. And do you know what our Savior said? In the end, He doesn't make a reproof. He says in Luke 22, verse 28, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." It's worthwhile for everyone to be faithful to the Lord, to remain faithful, to persevere in the hours of trial. And we see here what He promised to His own, even to reign with Him. Also here we could read that we will rule and reign with Christ as kings. In Revelation, in chapter 1, we read the following. Revelation, chapter 1, from verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." And then it says right away, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also who pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Are not all these words something very special? Yes, this whole book is a special book. Nothing can be compared to it. There's no book which could inform us about God and His plan, but only this book of God. Every time when we make the journey to Israel, it overwhelms me to see at the Wailing Wall how the Torah is kissed there, and how they then read of it with all devotion, and this by Jews over which hearts still the veil is, as often as they read the scriptures of Moses, and nevertheless they are touched on the inside. For God has temporarily put them on hold to give us the room that we could come in. For thus it is written in the prophet Isaiah chapter 49, probably verse 8 or 9, I have made thee a light for the Gentiles, that you become the salvation unto the ends of the earth. So, not only in a small region, I read it so that you know it. Isaiah 49 verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. To every question, God gives us in his word a reliable answer. And also for this, we are grateful. Now, we must, whether we like it or not, just briefly, we have to touch upon the subject of water baptism. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Mark, in fact, at the end of all the Gospels, the Lord gave the last commission. And if it is summarized, then this is the best, because every one of the evangelists has repeated a certain part of this commission. Here, in Matthew 28, it says, from verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This word is holy and true. It's not as something, an add-on. If we would not have this scripture, then we would not know at all what we should do with the result and with the answer and with the carrying out of the Great Commission. It just has to be understood rightly. And we believe that the disciples understood it rightly. For they not only had the letter, but the revelation by the Holy Spirit. Peter was there when this was said. And when he then had to speak on the day of Pentecost, driven by the Holy Spirit, he called out to the people the following words. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is no contradiction, just the contrary. The One is the solution and the carrying out of that what was said before. Here it's of course written, literally, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. What is the name of the Father? Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. When someone will come in his own name, him you will receive. And I tell you today, freely and openly, whoever does not receive and accept the name of the Son of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ and gets the solution of this riddle by God, he will believe the Antichrist following him and will do what they all do from the first to the last. Perhaps it doesn't fit here now, but out of this scripture was made a formula under which horrific things take place. Some know that from their own bitter experience. Our Lord was not interested in a formula. Our Lord was interested to hide a secret here so that it can only be revealed to them who are led by the Holy Spirit into all truth. Otherwise, everybody would have known it and everyone would be able to act according to their understanding and no more revelation by the Spirit would be required. You see, it's very simple. The first question which we have to ask ourselves is, what is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? For we shall baptize in the name. And the people made a formula out of it. And the name is not mentioned at all. So they don't do what the Lord said, but they remained in the dark about it, and the bright light of the gospel of Jesus Christ did not flash out to them. You see, beloved, if it is revealed to us by the Spirit of God, then this is a thing. And we can hardly understand why others cannot understand it and cannot see it. And nevertheless, we believe that the Lord reveals it to all who come to him. No one will remain in darkness, but they all shall have the light of life by grace. That's how our Lord said it. He that followeth me, this is the condition. He that followeth me, so the Lord, he shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. Since the early church was founded, no infants were sprinkled in this formula which we all know. But firstly, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the crucified one, was preached. All who received it by faith and who have become believers in Jesus Christ, they let themselves be baptized. Let me read it to you from Mark chapter 16. Very clear, it's written here. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. The faith is the absolute requirement for a biblical baptism. Only he who believes that Jesus Christ as the Son of God on the cross of Calvary gave his blood and life for our atonement, for our forgiveness and redemption. He may then make a covenant of a good conscience with God. Paul described it in Romans in chapter 6 with the following words. Romans chapter 6 from verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. But before that, I wanted to have read verse 3 first. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? The same we find in all the other scriptures, in the book of Acts, up to the letter of the Philippians. In Acts chapter 19, here we read in verse 5 and 6, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Whether 12, whether 120, whether 1, whether 1,000, with God, the number doesn't matter. We can read it. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If he has called you and me to be part of his church, not part of a church, then believe it today that all who belong to his church, to them belong all the promises which he has given in his word to his church. But of all these many promises, only one is called the promise of the Father. Wait in Jerusalem until ye receive the promise of the Father. Luke 24, probably verse 48, 49. Acts chapter 1 from verse 5 or 6, and then the following verses. There's only one promise which is called the promise of the Father. This is the infilling with the Holy Spirit, so that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Our Lord says, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And he said, wait until ye receive the promise of the Father. Now, the promise of the Father is for all his children. Hallelujah. Praise God. O children of God, we live under our God-given right. It is our right and our privilege to take this stand and to receive and to experience what God has promised to us as his sons and daughters. And may at this Easter a wonderful Pentecost take place. The power of Satan is broken. Jesus Christ is the victor in your and in my life, in the life of all them who belong to him and whom he purchased with a high price. Beloved, we are touched. That's right. But we have all reason to be touched. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be to our God. I hope that we have not been preached to death, but that we have been preached to come alive. Our Lord says, I live and ye shall live also. He said, the words which I speak to you, they are spirit and life. And this we not only believe, but this we may also experience. So, addressed to all who would like to be baptized, please understand it. You are not made a member of a church by baptism. The baptism is a confirmation that you received and accepted Jesus Christ, that you believe with all your heart, that your guilt and sin was atoned and forgiven. Baptism is a step of faith and of obedience. This we read in Mark 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I myself have never associated anything special with water baptism. I have always seen this step of obedience and faith, but I nevertheless have to say that people came to me and testified that in the moment of water baptism, in their life, really a change took place, and that something happened in them and with them. Surely they believed it. That's how it is also with the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial meal. And how many were already healed? How many were blessed? Oh, when we put all our hearts into it and say, Lord, now I go into the water with you by obeying your word, to make a covenant of a good conscience with you. Then something will happen. God answers even today. He blesses even today. He delivers, He heals. He is the same yesterday, today, and the same forever. Beloved, the world you have to leave behind. You cannot take it with you into glory. All habits which are not part of a natural life, all bondages, whatever it might be, everyone knows it himself the best. Everything must be left behind. It must be brought under the cross. A whole deliverance, a full separation of that what is not from God. This shall be our slogan of faith, and then all trouble is over. Sometimes it's a battle, and sometimes also a cramp, but if you want it with all your heart and say, Lord, I'm impotent, but you are omnipotent. Take me and accomplish your work in me. And suddenly, the deliverance, the redemption, the liberation, then you will be a happy person. You will not be enslaved anymore. Then you are no longer controlled, but you control yourself and all the things which controlled you. Then you have them under your control. A new day dawned to you. A new life was given to you. Divine life by grace. Eating and drinking goes on, but not gorging and boozing. And so, some things could be listed here. We, as the children of God, we know that the Spirit of God convicts of sin. Everything what cannot stand its ground before God, of this the Holy Spirit convicts us. That's how our Lord said it. I send you the Spirit of truth, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Not a preacher, but the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and convicts the people under the sound of the Word of God. We don't want man-made conversions, but divine conversions, that people receive a new life from God. Now, just two scriptures of baptism. Acts chapter 10, verse 48. And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the next one, Acts chapter 8, verse 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet He was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the water baptism which we administer here in a biblical way, knowing that we carry out the great commission of our Lord and Savior by it. We have recognized that God has revealed Himself in the New Testament in heaven as Father, on the earth in the Son, and in us by the Holy Spirit. in the one holy name, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. So, what is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Jesus, hallelujah, praise God. Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Very simple. As 3 × 3 = 9, so if it is asked here, what is the name? The answer is Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully, all understood it so far, and you are aware of, you who you like to be baptized today, of what it's all about. Don't look back anymore. Look on the crucified one who bleeded for you, who redeemed and purchased you. You are his possession. The Lord says, I have redeemed you. You are mine. Hallelujah. Praise God. I would like it best to sing the song now. Redeemed am I. As a German song goes. Redeemed by the blood of the Savior. And then we will pray. Did you find it, brothers? Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Also in the songs, God speaks to us. 229. Let us sing it now with all our hearts. 229. But really, with all your heart. 229. I am redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Savior, redeemed through his eternal mercy. I'm so well off with Jesus. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Savior. Redeemed. I am so well off with Jesus. Saved through Jesus. I have no words for it. How sweet is his heavenly presence. How great is his love toward me. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, I'm so well off with Jesus. And when I have finished the battle, I finished my course, have kept the faith in Jesus, then he takes me up and crowns me. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. We want to bow our heads and face the divine realities. From everything what came through sin and from Satan to us and what we had to go through, we want to look away from it. After all, he is the accuser of the brethren. First, he causes unrest and brings havoc and trouble, and then he points his finger to us and accuses us. We have a faithful advocate who with his own blood entered the Holy of Holies to bring it there before the throne of grace upon the altar. The blood of reconciliation, the holy divine blood, speaks today for us. It acquits us. Hallelujah. It acquits us. Amen. Amen. Praise and honor be unto the Lord. Let us not look back. We cannot look back and at the same time walk forward. We must do what Paul wrote to the Philippians. We forget what is behind us and reaching forth unto those things which are before, keeping it in focus, pressing forward, because we are apprehended of Christ. Beloved, the works of Satan are destroyed, and the work of God was established. The day of salvation dawned for us. The year of Jubilee, the year in which everybody can be set free, not a year with 365 days. God's year of Jubilee. Oh, praise and honor be unto the name of the Lord. Our Savior said in Luke 4, today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. O God, we thank you together that since the cross of Calvary, the day of salvation, the acceptable time has broken forth. Shortly, it will come to its end. You are calling out the last ones. May they come now. Call each one who is here today, so that nobody has to leave here without having achieved anything. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name.